Let's look at our Bibles. Actually, we're going to be spending some time in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. I'd like to just read three verses in chapter 4 this evening, if we could. In Acts chapter 4, we're going to be reading in verses number 18, 19, and 20. So if you found your spot there, let's all stand, if you would, and we will read together Acts chapter 4, 18 through 20. The Word of God says this. It says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Notice what their problem there was, was the name of Jesus. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I want us to notice here this morning, as we're looking at this passage in chapter 3 and chapter 4, about some of the special things that happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a powerful name, isn't it? It's a lovely name. It's the most wonderful name on earth. It's the name that we called upon when we got saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for loving us, Lord. I thank you for salvation. I thank you just for your daily goodness to us, Lord. You load us with benefits, and I just think of the things that you bring our way. Lord, just the ability to speak and breathe and be able to walk. And Lord, just the many things, Lord, that sometimes we take for granted. Lord, you've blessed us with your word. You've blessed us with the preaching of your word. You've blessed us, Lord, just so richly to have fellowship with believers and the freedom to be able to tell others about you. Lord, we just thank you for how richly you have blessed us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that tonight, Lord, that you would have your way with the service. I ask, Lord, that as we look at your word here, Lord, that we would just be renewed on just how wonderful the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Lord, we need you tonight, and I ask, Lord, that you would fill us, Lord. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, if you have a job in the world or have had a job in the world, which I would say probably most of us here would be in that category, or maybe even not a job in the world, but in some way have had exposure to the world, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. You know, we are supposed to be an influence in this world. That's what God has left us here to be. But as you're exposed to this world, oftentimes you will hear people be very loose with the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, just out of habit, people will use his name in such a way that is in vain. And sometimes they will use his name when they are very upset. You know, I have never heard anybody ever get upset and shout out the name of Buddha or Muhammad, or, you know, have you ever heard anybody say anything like, "Oh, Buddha"? You know, I've never heard anybody say anything like that. You know, why is that? Even the world, in their own corrupt way, recognizes that there is something different about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something different about that name. And we ought to reverence, as Christians, we ought to reverence the name of Jesus Christ. There is great power in speaking and teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, we find this first century church shortly after Pentecost. And if we were to go back just a little bit, and let's turn just maybe a page over to Acts chapter 1, if you would. And you look in verse number 7 and verse number 8, we see the commission of the church here recorded as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. It says in verses number 7 and 8 of chapter 1, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There it is, the commission to the church. Shortly afterward, he ascends up to heaven. In verse number 11, the Word of God says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We look forward to that day that he returns. Amen. It'll be a great day. In Acts chapter 2, we find the church empowered. Now again, the church already existed. It existed with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. But now we see in chapter 2, it is empowered here. And the Holy Spirit comes upon those believers as they were gathered together, and it empowered them. And in verse 14 of chapter 2, Peter stands up. And he says there in verse number 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And he proceeds here to speak and preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes it very clear in verse number 36 of chapter 2 here what he is preaching about when he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." He is undoubtedly preaching and teaching the Lord Jesus Christ here. In verse number 38, the Word of God says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And he says it again here. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Down in verse number 41, we see what happens with the church here. It says, "And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." We see the progression should occur when a believer accepts Christ. You should accept Christ and then be baptized and then join the church. It should happen in that order. In verse number 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We see that they received the word and 3,000 souls were added to the church. And we see very clearly the Great Commission in action here as they got saved and they were baptized and joined the church and they continued in the doctrine just as we are here tonight. And they were in one accord. They had unity. If somebody had a need, somebody was filling that need. And they rejoiced together and they ate together and they had unity in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Boy, what a time here, this first century church enjoying the goodness of God. All of this happened, can I mind you, all of this happened because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a powerful name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to take a look at the events that happen in these subsequent verses here in chapter 3 and remind us this evening that there is great power found in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In one of the first persecutions of this very early Christian church here, we see some outcomes from His powerful name. And I'd like to ask ourselves here this evening, am I claiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I drawing my strength from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I bringing glory to His holy name? What can I do for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd like to preach a message this evening that I've simply titled, "Power in the Name of Jesus." I'd like you to notice first that in this power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He can cause the lame to leap. Look at Acts chapter 3, if you would. It says in verse number 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Can you imagine the scene that is there? I see here in verse number 6 that it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They said, "Rise up and walk." That name of Jesus Christ had the power to accomplish much more than was ever thought. Our story here begins with a lame man that was healed. And this lame man, the Bible tells us that he not only was healed, but in verse number 8, it tells us that he was walking and leaping and praising God. Imagine this man that had never walked before. Here he is, he's standing up, and not just like a toddler, you know, trying to keep his balance. No, he's standing up with strength and walking, and I'm not going to jump around, but he's leaping and praising God. Imagine that scene. Yeah, you'll get me leaping on video, and Brother Sam will see that. What is Brother Mike doing at church? I want you to notice some things that was accomplished here with this lame man that was leaping. There was something that was accomplished that was beyond human thinking. You know, this man, he was described as lame from his mother's womb. He never knew what it was meant to walk. You know, I can remember as our kids growing up, you know, again, you know, taking those first steps with their hands, you know, as they're going to, and then they fall into your arms. This man never did that, never once. Lame from his birth. He never knew what it meant. The Bible tells us that they laid him at the temple daily, they laid him daily at the gate of the temple. Imagine that. He had to depend on somebody else to bring him and lay him down at the gate of the temple. He could not get there on his own accord. Why did they lay them there? It's just so he could simply beg for alms as people entered into the temple, just with the hope that somebody would have mercy on him and give him a little bit of food or a little bit of money so he can buy food and take care of his needs. The only expectation that this man had that day was that somebody might just give him a little bit so that he would have something to take care of his needs. He had no idea what would happen to him that day. A verse that Jennifer and I often claim is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Boy, isn't our God good? We serve a great and mighty God. And I think about how the Lord blesses us so richly and about how He transforms our lives. And I think about how sometimes we place a limit on what God can do. He can do far more, far beyond our human thinking. And I can prove it. I can't remember, I can't tell you, unfortunately, the specific day of the month. The number day, but I do know that it was a Sunday morning in February in 1981. I can remember that I had thought that I was saved, and I had struggled with it because I had made a profession of salvation as a very young person. And at that very early age, and I probably have given my testimony here before, but I can remember when I responded to the invitation when I was just a little guy, that the teacher took us into another room, and there was a few of us that had responded to the invitation. And I can remember as we sat in a circle, we went around the room praying. I can remember the person, and I was very, very shy when I was young, I have to force myself to be outgoing. But as a young person, I remember they prayed, and the person on my left prayed, and it came time for me to pray, and I just kind of didn't say anything. And then the person on the right prayed, and I never did pray. But the teacher said, "Oh, well, you're all, you know, you all, you're saved. You know, tell your mom and dad and all of that." And so I did, and I got baptized with my grandmother, and it was just a special day being able to get baptized the same day as her. But I knew that I was not really saved. But that on that day in February in 1981, I was a little older. And finally, I knew that my salvation was not taken care of, and I was just convicted about it over and over and over again, and I was so afraid that the Lord would stop speaking to me about my salvation the more that I rejected His calling. But I can remember in that junior church, one of our men was preaching, and I can't tell you what the message was about, but I remember I just could not sit in my seat any longer, and when the invitation was given, I went forward and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I did not pray in the name of Buddha or Muhammad. I did not pray in the name of the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I did not pray in the name of the God of the Mormons. I prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me. And He did something to my life that was far more than I could possibly think. He changed my eternity. He changed my life so that I live for Him. He changed me so that I look for a godly wife and I have a godly family, and He changed me in so many ways. I have a good godly church family and a great church and have opportunities to preach. He's done far beyond I could ever think or ask. But I have peace because of that name, because of the name of Jesus Christ. I pillow my head at night. I don't wonder, boy, am I going to heaven? Am I going to spend an eternity in heaven? No, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ answered all of those questions. Not only was He healing this lame man, beyond his human thinking, this man stood up and he leaped and he praised God. But he also did something beyond human sight. This man, he saw Peter and John, and it says in our passage that he looked to them for help. This is the sight life. But what was beyond the sight life was the faith life that was going on here as he looked to them and he was placing his faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do in his life. I picture as Peter and John, they reach down and they take him by the hand and they tell them, he says, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And he never had stood up on his own, but on that day, by faith, he trusted Christ could do, and he stood up and walked and leaped and he prayed. Praise God. You see, Brother Mike, how do you know that he had faith in Christ? Look down in verse number 16 of chapter 3, and the Bible says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man would say, well, they try to justify it. His muscles would not work right. And he wouldn't have had the kind of balance. He wouldn't have had enough strength to be able to do all of that. The Bible must be wrong. He would probably need some physical therapy before he was able to do any of those things. This miracle was beyond the sight life. It involved the faith life. It was beyond human sight. It was also beyond human limitations. Man can attempt to explain away the miracles of God. I used to work with a guy, I still keep in touch with him. But at one point, they were having a special on A&E. Is that the History Channel? Is that right? Am I saying that correctly? But they were talking about the Ark and the Flood. And they went through this big, long special about how it probably wasn't quite like the Bible said. It was probably more of a localized flood. And, there's no way like an ark of that size could have floated. It was probably more like this. And, they probably wasn't two of every kind of animal upon the ark. There's probably maybe just a little bit of animals there. And, because it was a localized flood, other animals lived elsewhere. And I tried to explain to my friend, I said, I don't care what size the boat was or the ark. You know, God did it, so he could do it all. You know, he did the miraculous there. You can't try to explain it away with man's thinking and try to fit man's thinking into the Bible. God did it, and by faith we believe it. It was a worldwide flood, and the boat was the size that they said that it was, and all those animals were on the ark, and God shut that door, and he did the miraculous. He does the miraculous. It's beyond human limitations. Can I tell you that with the miracles of God, when a person gets saved and has new life, man will try to explain this type of thing, and he'll say, well, he just turned over a new leaf. Or they say a person that gets provision from God, well, man wants to explain it by, well, you know, it was the goodness of another person. They discount the goodness of God. You know, when they see the miracles in the Bible, they try to explain it scientifically with no regard that God can do the supernatural. You know, someone might say that this man here in this passage experienced strength that came from maybe an adrenaline boost or you know, they try to provide some other kind of explanation. But when I look at this account of this lame man, I see that this God did something here that was supernatural. And by faith, we believe it. And we accept it. This man had faith in God. I see that this miracle brought strength to him immediately when it says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I see that it defied the impossible. This man, as I stated before, he had a chronic condition and was lame from his mother's womb, seemingly impossible for him to be healed. He never knew what it was like to walk. But it also glorified God impeccably. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, he says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. This was no temporary healing. Let me ask you this evening, do you believe that the name of the Jesus Christ transcends all the ailments of life? I do. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trust in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a day that you will be with Christ for all eternity. Our eternity is settled. There will be a day where we have no illnesses, no aches, no trials, no pains. Back at home, we have on our church prayer list, we have divided into different sections. We have people that have chronic illnesses and people that are in need of salvation and people that are affected with cancer. And boy, that seems like that list is just growing and growing. It just gets bigger. And we keep faithfully praying for those folks, you know, on our Wednesday night prayer service. And we just pray and pray and pray for them. You know, there might be some that say, you know, I don't see any end to that. You know, I don't think God's ever going to heal them. But can I tell you, if they are saved, there will be a day that they will be perfectly whole, amen? God is going to heal them. Our prayers are going to be answered because God is going to miraculously heal them. And I believe as they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ that they're going to fall prostrate on their face. But when they have a chance to stand up, I think they're going to be like this lame man. They're going to be leaping and praising God. Oh boy, the Lord is able to do so much in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I notice that the name of Jesus Christ does something else. Not only did it cause the lame to leap, but it brings power to preaching. In our passage here, Peter, he gets rushed by all the people to see what is going on. And Peter then, like a great Baptist, takes the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And he follows the leading of the Holy Spirit and he preaches in the name of Jesus Christ. And I see some powerful preaching that goes on. I'd like you to notice some things about his message here, how he diverted to the glory of God. It says in verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He diverted everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. He glorified his Son Jesus in verse number 13. Down in verse number 16 it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." He gave the Lord Jesus Christ the credit for what was going on right there. You know, preaching is not about some eloquent display. It is about preaching Jesus Christ, giving God the glory. You know, it really does sicken me, you know, and I don't watch them, but you know, they have those Hollywood preachers on TV that, you know, stand up in front of people with their high-dollar clothing and jewelry all over their hands and these spectacular platforms and, you know, they tell you, you know, send me your money, of course, you know, three easy payments of $19.95, you know. they want it, right? Not Peter. He diverted the glory to God. He also displayed the sinner's sin. Look in verse number 14 and 15. It says, "And ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Boy, he really laid it out there, didn't he? He told them that they denied the Holy One. The Bible says in John 1:11 that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. Peter tells them that they desired a murderer. They violated God's laws and allowed a murderer to go free. He tells them that they brought death to the Prince of Life in verse number 14. They crucified our Savior. You say, wow, that is some tough preaching that Peter's doing. Yes, Peter was really going after them. But the truth of the matter is that all of our sin put Jesus Christ on that cross, did it not? Our sin, my sin, your sin, it put Christ on the cross. He was preaching the name of Jesus Christ. He delivered a message of repentance. Look at verse number 19. He says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know, if you're wanting to preach, can I tell you that there is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a Sunday school teacher and you want your lesson to be more powerful, teach in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you want strength when you go and knock on that door? Go in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that are saved, they're saved by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus preached. This is what Peter preached. And it should be what we all are preaching. In verse number 12 of chapter 4, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among whereby we must save." It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was there power in their preaching, and he calls the lame to leap, but thirdly, he rattled the religious. Look at chapter 4. He says, "And as he spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." I was telling my my Bible class back at the school at Capitol that we were talking about how you can know what the Sadducees were about. They, you know, they denied the resurrection. It was sad, you see, you know, and they're like, oh. But notice that the priests here and the captains of the temples and the Sadducees, you know, they're all there in attendance. You know, these rich religious leaders, these people that demanded that people look up to them. And we see in verse 2 that they were grieved because Peter and John had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. He says that they then laid hands on them and put them into hold unto the next day. You know, how sad, but very true. You know, if you go door knocking, you're going to come across a lot of people that are very religious, but they're lost. You know, clinging on to maybe how they were raised, or maybe just because it's easier, because they like what this church teaches, maybe the loose standards or whatever, that you can act however you want. But there are a lot of lost people out there that simply don't know the message of the gospel. They're okay a lot of times when you knock on a door. Many people are okay with if you keep it the conversation not confrontational, but if you keep it very simple and just invite them to church. A lot of people are like, oh, okay. You know, they might say, oh, First State Baptist Church. Okay. How many times have you heard this? Maybe I'll try it sometime. Are they going to come? Probably not. You know, that I'll try it sometime. That's translated, oh, thank you, but I'm not going to come. But, you know, they're okay with that simple invitation about church. Or maybe you direct them to the church website or say you could see a message on YouTube or whatever. You know, but they have this idea that, you know, that we all serve the same God and there's many ways to get there. And you know, some may even thank you for coming out and going door knocking. But, you know, something changes when you break the Bible out and you try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going, this is back when we were doing a lot of visitation over in Easton. We were planning a church over there. I remember there was one guy, very specific, he was a contractor guy, and it was in the summer, and it was a hot day, and, well, he was just so thankful that we were out, and, you know, oh, you know, do you guys need to use the restroom, or, you know, can you come, you want to come in, I'll get you maybe a bottled water, or do you want to, you know, just soak up the air conditioning for a little bit? And I was like, well, you know, let me just show you a couple things from the Bible about how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Well, this guy just, no, a complete 180, completely changed. Why? Because of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you talk about the truth of Jesus Christ, the attitudes change. Can I tell you that the biggest adversary to the Lord Jesus Christ has always been, and it'll continue to be, those, not those that are completely opposite of the truth, but those that are kind of close, but they don't possess the truth. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." But you know what? In our pack to our passage here, this rattled them. This upset them. And the lost will get upset at the message if they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a day, though, when all men will be in a doctrinal agreement and all men will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. One day all men will bow before His holy name. And in my opinion, we'll all be independent Baptists. Amen. His name is a powerful name that rattles the religious. It calls the lame to leap. It brings power to preaching. It rattled the religious. But I want you to also notice that it made believers out of bystanders. Look in verse number 4. It says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. Yes, there was this group over here that got rattled and upset. But 5,000 placed their trust in Jesus Christ. God used this trial here to accomplish something great in the hearts of 5,000 people. You know, we need to remember that the trials and tribulations that we go through, there is something very much larger than just us that is going on. God is at work in the hearts of people. I remember when my father passed away when Jennifer was pregnant with Samantha. So it's been it has been 17 years ago now that he's passed away. And That was the first time I ever really lost somebody that I was really close to. And you know, even though that was a very troubling and trying time, you know, God used that in my heart to accomplish some things. That now I can relate to people that are going through troubles and through the loss of a loved one. It helped me appreciate some things about my parents and be able to instill that in my children. There was something bigger going on than just me. There was people that came to my father's funeral and got saved. I thank the Lord for that. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Considering this large number of people, this wasn't the first time a large number of people were converted. It says in verse number 41 of chapter 2, "In the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Acts chapter 5 and verse number 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient in the faith." How did all this happen? Because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes in church there will be doubters of what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Oh, we were out on door knocking and you know, a person got saved. You know, there's going to be the person that throws the wet blanket. Oh, where are they? They didn't come this Sunday, you know. There's going to be some doubters. But can I tell you that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power in His name, does something far beyond what we can think. Great things are accomplished in the name of Jesus. We are not limited by our building. We're not limited by the number of workers that we have. We're not limited by the amount of money that is given to, by the church. When we go and preach and teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, people get saved. Peter and John were taken into custody because these religious leaders did not know what else to do. And again, gives Peter another opportunity to preach. He takes opportunity every chance he gets. He preaches in verse number 5 through 12, and then in verse number 13 he says this. He says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I want you to imagine that scene. Here you have this lame man, he's praising God and he's leaping around, this guy that shouldn't even be walking. We have this powerful preaching that's going on that just completely rattles these religious folks. 5,000 bystanders come, become believers. What an amazing scene, all because of the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice next that because of His name, that it silences the scoffers. In chapter 4 here, in verse number 14, it says, "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it." There was nothing that they could say. You know, he was healed. He's jumping around praising God. What could they possibly say against it? The Lord Jesus Christ silenced them. And He silenced this same religious sect back in Matthew chapter 22 when the Sadducees were trying to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think of that passage. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 22 quickly, if you would. Matthew chapter 22. And we see that they're asking the Lord Jesus Christ different questions, trying to trip Him up, trying to catch Him in a lie. It is them that is tripped up. He says the Sadducees were trying to ask Him about the resurrection, and they give Him this crazy scenario. And we were talking about it in Bible class. So the Sadducees were asking questions concerning the resurrection, and they give this scenario where a woman was the wife of 7 different brethren, and as the first one dies and there's no children, she became the wife of the second, and they had no children, he dies, he becomes wife of the third, on down the line, all 7 of them. And whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Well, they don't even believe in the resurrection. They're just trying to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus answers them in Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 29. The Word of God says this: "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the son of Isaac, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at His doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." He silenced them. Here is the truth of the matter. What God has written in this book, this Word of God, answers all the things that we need to know. It answers all of the scoffers. No other book answers the questions that the Bible answers. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I go when I die? Where did I come from? The world makes their attempt to answer some of life's most difficult questions with man-made religions, but the Bible answers it all. It is amazing to me, it just simply baffles me, what man is willing to believe. Some of the most brilliant minds, how can they believe that we came from a rock? Please, I wish somebody would explain that to me. That doesn't even make sense. It's ridiculous. But God's Word answers it all. there will be a day that every scoffer is silenced. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 10 says, "Wherefore God hath also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful, powerful name. Peter and John said, are preaching, and we saw that this precious name of Jesus, the man leaped, and we saw that these religious were rattled, and the bystanders became believers. The scoffers were silenced. Can I let you see, lastly, that his name brings devotion to believers? Turn, if you would, back to Acts chapter 4, if you would. Acts chapter 4, and look for verse number 19. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 19. The Word of God says this. It says, in verse number 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Peter and John were faced with a dilemma. The religious leaders were threatening them to no longer teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just recently had Brother Pratt, I believe you guys support Brother Pratt, but he was down at our missions conference, and he was telling us about how, you know, he works in that northern area of India, and he was telling us about how that he was taken into custody and he was beaten and all of those things. He was faced with a dilemma. Do I cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ? He chose, of course I'm going to preach and teach the name of Jesus Christ. Of course Peter and John are going to preach the name of Jesus Christ. You know, you pick up the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you start reading about many who gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Many were burned at the stake. Many were drowned and killed in unimaginable ways. Why? Because they stood for the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we live in the greatest country in the world. I believe that. We live in a world, in a country that you can completely disrespect our flag and our anthem, and because of our freedom of speech, you know, you're allowed to do that. It seems like you're only criticized when you stand up against those things, right? When you stand up for right. But the world is upside down. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That word woe there means destruction. One day the unsaved will stand before God at that great white throne of judgment. There'll be silence. This ought to burden us that we live in a lost and dying world that is on their way to hell. We need to choose the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose to be like, as Peter and John said, we cannot be silent. What will it take to silence us? You know, I think about, thinking of Brother Pratt's testimony, I think about how sometimes, you know, out on door knocking or whatever, we might complain because, you know, it's hot out, or, you know, oh, it's too cold out, or, oh, it's somebody slammed the door in our face, or, like, oh, it's too much walking, or whatever. But we need to be devoted to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to say we cannot be silent. Are you devoted to that precious name? Oh, there is great power in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Salvation is so simple. Faith in Christ plus nothing else equals eternal life. It's free. It's for all people. It is that simple. Man tries to add works to salvation and create their own way to God, but Christ did it all. He is the only way to God. Do you have your eternity settled? If not, today is the day of salvation. But how about a Christian? What is stopping us from preaching and teaching and being the soul winner in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter and John said, it's settled. We cannot be silenced. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They realize that there is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that name of Jesus Christ, it made a difference in the life of that lame man who's now leaping. Boy, it made a difference in the life of Peter, who now is preaching very powerfully. Peter, that fisherman, that rough around the edges fisherman, boldly preaching Jesus Christ. It made a difference to those religious crowd. It shook them up, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. It made a difference to all of those 5,000 unbelievers that accepted Christ as their Savior. It changed their eternity, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. All of those scoffers, it made a difference in their life. It silenced them. But it brought devotion to the delivered. Do we have that devotion here tonight? Maybe tonight you would say, you know what, I want to come to this altar and I would just want to thank Him. I want to thank Him for the power that is in His name, the strength to live and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be you this evening? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.